We like to change things up. You guys are getting used to that by now. You can pray for Martin. He's been sick all week, and so he's getting better, but so you guys have me because he's sick. let's just give this time to God and just see what he has for us today. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you for your Son. Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes to see what you have for us today. In your name I pray. Amen. Like I said, Martin's sick, so you guys are stuck with me. And when Nate and I were talking about the service today, we decided we'd split it up a little bit. And so we're going to do some teaching, some singing, some teaching, some singing. You guys are, like I said, you guys are used to this. Today is Communion Sunday, and especially after last week where we got to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, communion is just a time for believers, those who've put their faith and trust in Christ, to remember what Jesus did on the cross and to remember that he's coming back again. And it's just this awesome thing that we get to celebrate. And Martin decided at the beginning of the year that on Communion Sundays, we were going to talk through the names of God. And the names of God were given to God a lot of times based on what people had experienced. You know, you see instances where when God provided the ram for Abraham, Jehovah Jireh, he is my provider. And so there is these instances where they experienced God, his people experienced him, and they gave him a name. And so we get the benefit of that. The name that we're going to talk about today is Elohim. And Elohim is not necessarily was given to him based on an experience that someone had with him, but it based on who he is. Elohim means God of power. And so we're going to look at Elohim today. And we're going to look how Elohim is the creator. He's the sustainer, and he's our redeemer. Let's pray. Father, we give this time to you. Father, most of what's going to be said is not new to a lot of us. But Father, you have blessed us with an abundance of teaching, with an abundance of books, with an abundance of videos. Father, we are not lacking in ways of getting to know you. Father, it's about us as your people living out your truth. Father, teach us today. Let your Spirit speak to us, convict us. We need you. In your name I pray. Amen. Tamina bought our girls an ant farm for Christmas. Okay, at one point at my house, we had an ant farm, butterflies, I feel like I'm a dog. Was there a rabbit and a cow and a horse? I don't know. So we had this ant farm, and I had never had an ant farm, and I killed the ant farm. Apparently, you're not supposed to feed ants large quantities of bread. I guess you're supposed to just put like a pin drop in. Well, I put a whole, yeah. So I killed it. But it was interesting to have this ant farm because what you have is you have this little plastic box that has halfway filled with sand. So it's this wall of sand and emptiness. And you put the ants in, and then the ants over time, they start to burrow through this wall of sand and they make this cool pathway thing. They take what is seemingly useless, this sand, and make it into a useful path for them to get around, for them to store their food. And when I was thinking about Elohim as creator, that is what he did. He took what was nothing, and he made it beautiful. See, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Elohim, God, first name, right there in the beginning, God He didn't have a beginning. He was there. He is the one who created and caused the beginning. So Elohim created. And it was something out of nothing, ex nihilo. And if you turn with me to Psalms 33:6, we get a glimpse of that. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. And when Nate and I are talking through this, he wanted me to tell you that our God is a star-breathing God. But I just think that God spoke and things happened.
Thank you.
I love having a mic. All right, Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. See, there wasn't like this lump of clay that was laying in the middle of nowhere, and God said, oh, there's a lump of clay, I'm going to go form stuff. No, he said, out of the mouth of God, he spoke the universe into existence. He took what was nothing and made something beautiful. Genesis 1:2 says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of, the word there is Elohim. So the Spirit of Elohim is there. And he took what was formless and void and turned it into this, what we have today. Over the next 6 days, he speaks everything into existence. He can take the chaos of what was nothing and turn it into something beautiful. And when we look at our lives, and we look at this world we live in that was marred by sin, our God can take what is chaotic and work in it and make it beautiful. Do you believe that? Like we say it, like we like to, like I said, we have this knowledge. Okay, this is nothing new. Yes, God created everything. But like, what does that do in us? What does that compel us to think or to change? And when we look out and we see Mount Rainier on those beautiful once a year, beautiful days with lots of blue sky, and we get to see this majestic mountain, what does that do in us? When we go to Leavenworth and we're staying at Nottapock at the men's retreat and we're watching the river and we're just looking out at God's creation, what does that do in us? And the first thing it should do is it should strengthen our faith. It should build us up and say, wait a minute, if our God created all of this and he loves me and he's working in my life, That should strengthen my faith. The other thing it should do is it should bring us to our knees and worship that the God of the universe loves me. See, things get so, we read them. Yep, in the beginning, God. But we need to have childlike faith. Remember Jesus saying we need to have faith of a child, that when a child sees things, my kids get excited over the weirdest things. And my girls right now are going through a phase where when they get really excited about something, they just scream as loud as they can. Tamina loves it. It's one of her love languages. by the way, this week, tomorrow is Tamina's birthday, so you'll have to say happy birthday to Tamina. She loves that I just said that too. All right, so back to Elohim is creator. And when we look at his creation, it should compel us to strength. Our faith should be strengthened. It should compel us to worship. But it should also bring an attitude of praise. That when we think of God, all we can do is praise him for how mighty and how awesome and how powerful, yet loving and gracious he is to us. Elohim is God of power. The word, like I said, the name Elohim is, it was written almost over 2,000 times in the Old Testament. It's one of the most common names of God. And it carries the connotation that Elohim is God above all gods. How great is our God. He created the universe by speaking it into existence. Elohim is creator. My personality is one where I get caught up in the day-to-day, the here and now, what's going on, what's in front of my face, that sometimes I don't recognize when things are going good or bad. I'm just living. This is what God has for me now, so I'm just going to plow ahead. Tamina and I, a while back, were looking back at a year, and we're like, whoa, that was a really tough year, but we're in the midst of it, and we just didn't realize it until after the fact. And when we look at Elohim being all-powerful, one of the things that we have to recognize is he is our sustainer. He's the one who helps us when things are going not the way we think they should. He's also the one who sustains us when they're going the way, hey, everything's going good. He's the one sustaining. When I was in high school, ninth grade, I went to the same high school as my next brother up, and it was the same high school that my older brother went to. We lived in the same house from the time I was 3 till 16, and my parents decided to move. And when I moved, it was a really tough time. Nate and I both have a similar experience. That he was in junior high, I was in high school, where our parents moved, and it was really forming for us. It was a big struggle. I went from a place where a house that I knew, a school where my siblings have gone, to knowing nobody, to having a school where I knew no one. I went from a place in Buffalo where I had family in Niagara Falls, I had family in Batavia, which is about 45 minutes outside of Buffalo. I had family all around. We would get together all the time, to the only family I had were my mom and dad. I was a very lonely time. And my parents remember us fighting more than I do. They remind me of that. But when I look through that time, God sustained me. I didn't have a major rebellion against God or against my parents. In fact, outside of that first year, like, I really didn't fight with my parents. We were on, like, we had a good relationship. And it was all because of God sustaining me through it. And it wasn't until my senior year that I could really look back and say, wow, I really needed to move. Because if I didn't move, I wouldn't be who God wants me to be. God is our sustainer. Turn with me to Psalms 46. Sorry, I lost myself. Psalms 46. Verse 1. God, Elohim, is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah. This author is saying that no matter what's going on, no matter what this world has to throw at us, Elohim is our strength and our refuge. He will help us through. If our economy falls completely apart, we have a God who is our refuge and strength and will walk through that with us. If our health leaves us, we have a God who is our strength and our refuge, and he will sustain us through this. Joblessness, whatever it may be, our God is one of strength who says, I will sustain you. A lot of times what happens, though, is our expectations aren't met. We think we should be further along than what we are. We think we should maybe have a nicer house than what we do. We think maybe we should be further along in the job. Or we think spiritually, hey, I should have it all together by now. And we forget that We were never promised wealth. We were never promised things. We were never promised that our expectations would be met by God. What we were promised is that He will take care of us. That He will sustain us. And when we get mad at God, a lot of times it has to do with, but it's not looking the way I want it to look. Which says more about you than God. We need to recognize when things are tough that I need to surrender my life and recognize it is God who sustains me. It is God who carries me through. And I need to rely on Him, recognize it. He has what is best in store for me, and He knows the end from the beginning. He's not surprised with where we are as a country. He's not surprised with where you are in your life at this stage. He knew before the foundation of the earth that we would be sitting here this Sunday at this time, in this country, in this building. He will sustain us when things are tough. But we also have to recognize that it's important for us, when things are going well, that we acknowledge that it's from God. See, it's easier when things are going tough and the waves are crashing in and struggles are happening and I don't know where to go and I can't breathe and I feel abandoned by God. I'm going to reach up to Him because I can't do anything on my own. But when things are going good, it's where we start to get a little, well, I get a bigger head and look at me, I got it together. But everything I have came from, I didn't do it on my own. Everything I have is by the grace of God. My three-year-old son is really funny, if you've ever been around him. He loves to say at times, it's not fair. He just won't say it once. My son loves to repeat himself. So he'll say it over and over again. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. And we get that mentality at times. When we look at others and things aren't going the way we think they should, or when, oh, we're going through this really great time and then all of a sudden trouble hits and, oh, that's just not fair. Guys, do you realize how spoiled we are in America? Like, if we wanted fair, we'd live in a mud hut eating rice potentially three times a day and hopefully have clean water. We take for granted clean water. I was doing a chapel at Cascade, and I talked through how we take things for granted, and I didn't realize, and Larry talked to me about this, I didn't realize that one of the major problems in the world is clean water. Like, I just take it for granted because I've always had it. See, our God will sustain us, and it may not always look like what we want it to, but He will sustain us. Are things going well for you? If they are, do you recognize they're from God? Are you going through a tough time right now? Your marriage is not what you think it should be, or you're single and you really want to be married, or your job is just mundane and you don't like it anymore. Your kids aren't listening to you. They're staying up till midnight cleaning their room, supposedly. Not that I've ever had that experience last night. And the three-year-old was up cleaning his room, but it was a mess. Is your life not what you want it to be? Are you discontent? Have you surrendered to the God of the universe who says, I want to sustain you? I want to hold you up. I want to hold it together, and I'm going to carry you through. He is our refuge. His love never fails and never gives up. He is always there for us. He is our sustainer. but he's also our Redeemer. Remember on Palm Sunday when I grabbed my Bible and we looked at this and we went through the story of God? We're going to do it one more time because it's just important for us to remember the context. So Genesis 1 and 2, what is it about? Creation. God creating everything, and he created good. He created us to have a relationship with him. Genesis 3 is about what? The fall. So Genesis 4 to Revelation 22 is all about what? Redemption. God bringing humanity and in creation, for that matter, back into the relationship at which he had created it to have with us, with him. In fact, if we look at Revelation 3 and 4, there should be what in between it? A blank page, because we are in Bible times. We are in Bible times. Elohim is our Redeemer. We see that in David's life. David was the second king of God's chosen people in the Old Testament, Israel. And we look in Psalm 13 and see just David's heart. And if you don't read Elam's Last Word, which is our blog that the elders and some ministry leaders write, it would be important for you to look at that, because it's just it's our opportunity of communicating with you. And so if you have not read The Last Word, Nate wrote one a couple weeks ago on lamenting. And this is a great example of that. And you can go on our website and you can go to The Last Word and just read that. But this is a great example of David lamenting. So turn with me to Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes so that I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord praise, for he has been good to me. You see that David doesn't see the end. He's looking at me saying, God, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? My enemies are going to overtake me. I can't handle this. I'm going to go to death, and my enemies are going to be like, we did it. But he says, wait, but I trust you in your unfailing love. I trust your salvation. God, Elohim, is our sustainer through those tough times, but it also reminds us that he's our Redeemer and he has saved us. He has bought us back. He has brought us into the relationship. And David was a child of God. He was a friend of God, a man after his own heart, and he could rest in the promises of God, and he could say, I know that I have a relationship with God, and he's promised me these things, and I know that I can take confidence in my Redeemer. I can take confidence in my salvation. He's our Redeemer. He's the one who saved us. But he's also present always in every situation. Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God, Elohim, goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. See, when we get into life and we start to see, oh no, what am I going to do? We need to remember that he's our sustainer, but also that he's a Redeemer and he is with us. He's present. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Our God is so powerful that he can be with all of us at the same time. He is creator. He is sustainer. He is redeemer. Again, Elohim was introduced at creation, and we see that the word Elohim is not just referring to you know, God the Father or God the Spirit or God the Son. It's referring, depending on the context, referring to all three. And we can kind of get a glimpse in this in Genesis 1:26 when Elohim says, "Let us make man in our image." Elohim is saying, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image." And we see in verse 1, 2, that the Spirit of God was present at creation. We know that God is present, the Father is present at creation. But we also have to look, and we have to look in Colossians to see that Jesus is present. And see, the reason we're going back to Jesus is because we have to remember, this is all about Jesus. Colossians 1. I get fired up with this one. I love this verse. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Jesus is the image of the invisible God. It's as if God the Father, if God the Father looked in a mirror, he would see Jesus. And that's kind of that imagery. Now, we know that God the Father is spirit, so he doesn't have a body. But what he's saying is, Jesus and I are one in essence, but we're different persons. He's the image of the invisible God. He's incarnate God. Jesus is the firstborn of creation, means that he is eternal and without beginning or end. This is an example of his supremacy and not in his coming into existence. See, some people will read this and say, well, see, Jesus wasn't God. He was a created. He's the firstborn he's firstborn among the dead. But that's not a signifying of start, that signifies supremacy. It signifies order, that he is before all things. He has been there from the beginning. It says that Jesus holds all things together. And that's that whole sustainer thing, that he's going to hold things together and he's going to be there for us. And then in verse 20, Jesus reconciles or redeems us through his blood shed on the cross. Elohim is our creator. Jesus is our creator. Elohim is our sustainer. Jesus is our sustainer. Elohim is redeemer. Jesus bought us with the price of his blood shed on the cross. And we get to celebrate that today and every Sunday. We just celebrate it every Easter. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. One of the reasons we celebrate, the reasons we have worship services on Sunday is because it's Resurrection Day. Back in the Old Testament, Jews would have church on Saturday. We have it on Sunday because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. So we get to celebrate the tomb being empty every Sunday. And then once a month, we are commanded by God to take communion. He doesn't say you have to do it once a month, but when we do it, we do it in remembrance of him. That he came, he died, he rose again, and that he will come again. He will come again. Our God is powerful. He is so mighty that he can speak all that we see into existence so that he can sustain us through the good and the bad times and walk us through it, each of us. And he is our Redeemer, that when we were an enemy of God, Christ died so that we could have forgiveness and become a friend Not just a friend, a co-heir. We can be a part of God's family. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins? If you haven't, this is the most important decision of your life. Because yes, we have a Elohim who is a God who created, Elohim who sustains us through, Elohim who redeems us. But if you have not put your faith and trust in Him, you don't have His redemption. You don't have His forgiveness. And you need forgiveness in order to have a relationship with Him. So if you have not put your faith and trust in Christ, come talk to me or one of the elders or Nate. Because it's important. Again, we get to celebrate communion. And we're going to do it right now. And elders, if you want to come forward and come to your stations. We are going to have three stations, one in the back and then two up front. Guys, you can come up. And you're going to come forward so those in the main area can just come down the center aisles. The elders will hand you, or will say, this is Christ's body broken for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. And while this is going on, Nate has two songs. And these songs are fairly long songs, so don't feel like you have to rush to come up. But use this time as a time of reflection, reflecting on what Christ has done for you as creator, as sustainer, as redeemer. And don't take the elements, we'll take them together. This is for those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. So if you say, yes, I know I'm going to be with Christ in eternity, this is an opportunity for us to celebrate. If you don't know Christ, it's okay. You can stay in your seat. You can stand and sing if you want. But this is for those who've put their faith and trust in Christ. So I'm going to pray, and those in the main part can come down the center, go out the sides. Those in the back can come up from my left, your right, and just go over. So let's pray. Father, you sent your Son to die in our place as our substitute. Father, without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sins. And Father, we celebrate your death, but also your resurrection, and that you're coming back, coming again. Father, thank you for your love. In your name I pray. Amen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." Let's take time on our own and just examine our hearts. Confess any sin. Father, thank you for your body. It was broken for me. Father, thank you for your blood that was shed on the cross. And Father, thank you that we can remember that you're coming again. How exciting is that? That our Creator, our Sustainer, our Redeemer is coming again. And one day we'll be in His presence. And we don't have to do this in remembrance of Him because we will be with Him.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that we are Your church. We thank You that You love us. Father, we lift up Martin to You and just ask that You would just be with him as he recovers from being sick. And Lord, there's a lot of sickness going around. Father, I just pray for health. Father, I pray for us this week, Lord, that we would represent You well. Lord, that we'd speak of Your truth. Father, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the calling on our life. In Your name I pray. Amen.